One of the privileges, I am Christian by faith and Southern Baptist by choice. And one of the privileges of being a pastor for 30 plus years and just really being a Southern Baptist is our involvement in both local, national, and international missions. The Lottie Moon Christmas offering is a gathering of all Southern Baptist churches to have the opportunity to meet the needs of people in foreign lands. It is our international offering. The beauty of this offering is that every single penny, it's not one of those 85% goes to the organization and 5% to the children. Every single penny that you give goes into the hands of missionaries around the world. We're going to look at one of those stories this morning just to kind of remind us. We have a $2,000 goal. We want to reach that. Rose and I gave ours this morning, so we know that I think we were at $1,200. We ought to be above that. And we want to exceed our goal because, again, when Jesus said that the gospel was to go to the whole world, we don't think we can go. We're called to do our part here. But by the fact that we have folks out of our churches, Rose and I have friends out of our church in Thomasville that we were at, who are missionaries in India, and others of you know. So we know missionaries personally. Your money helped make it so that they can fulfill, and we can fulfill in partnering with the Great Commission.
Somehow really embodying what that means. They had one of the greatest empires in all of Africa. They had these great warriors, but they also were these sorcerers and magicians who controlled the spirits, and they had great buildings and great structures, kings and princes. And then you look at where they've become today, living hand to mouth, sustenance farmers, living in poverty, in a place where 3 out of 5 children don't live to see their 5th birthday, in a place where disease is just rampant. And you see very clearly that this kingdom is fading. All of the Songhai, if you ask them, would say, we're Muslim. Songhai really embody what we call folk Islam. Islam by name, by action, but when you dig a little deeper, their truer faith is one of animism. They still give their children to be possessed by demons. They are involved in all sorts of witchcraft. When a Songhai person accepts Christ, it is a traumatic experience. We have several villages with one believer. Imagine, just for a minute, if you were the only believer in your city. Imagine what it would be like to go to Walmart and the cashier refuses to accept your money. These are some of the things that our believers face. We speak the name of Christ boldly and often in places that have never been spoken to people who've never heard it. We have 2 villages where men heard the gospel 20 years ago and have been waiting and waiting for someone to share with them what that means. Our goal is to disciple Songhai believers and then send them out to Songhai lands. The Songhai kingdom is obviously fading. What we're seeing is a new kingdom replacing that. A kingdom not built with human hands, a kingdom that's being built by God. It's that kingdom that's going to endure, that kingdom that's going to go on and on.
It is my hope and my prayer that you will see the need, you will be his hands, his heart, and you will help them have hope. Pray with me just a moment. Father, as we come to this time, as we come to the time of the sharing of the Word, I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in this place, all that you're going to do. Father, I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus that as I deliver this message, that it might touch hearts the way it should, that it might reach people the way it should. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have been to the mall or been shopping? How many of you are finished? Amen. Any of you planning on going tomorrow? Good for you. Well, a woman and her grandson are walking in the mall when she walks up to a mall police officer, not a mall security person, but a police officer there. She looks him in the eye with her grandson in her hand and she said, I need to report a baby missing. Well, the color drains out of the police officer's face. He immediately grabs his telephone, his walkie-talkie, and he pushes a very special button, and a signal goes off, which basically in the mall means Code Adam. A Code Adam has gone off, and then there suddenly are mall security and other police officers and store managers and assistant managers are scrambling to close down, to lock that place down. A Code Adam is one of those times that you share when a child is missing. I've been involved in a mall where a Code Adam was called. It is a time of panic and fear. As the officer gets the Code Adam out and people are beginning to fan out, he looks at the woman and he raises the question about a description of the child. Well, as she begins to describe the child to him, he begins to think something's not quite right here. And finally he says, ma'am, are you talking about a real child? She said, oh yes. He said, well, what is it? Is he kin to you? Well, no, but I know him. And, well, what's his name? And she says, his name is Jesus. Now, you can imagine that police officer and that mall security, when that went back over the walkie-talkie to stand down, were not real, real happy. Suddenly, she finds herself in mall security with her grandson. And she gets the talking down of her life. They try to explain to her that a Code Adam does basically three things. First of all, it is to alert those that are in authority and the public to the fact that a child is missing. And so they immediately begin to spring to action. That's one. Number two, it is to marshal the forces necessary to find that child. That means police, mall security, whether it's a store or anything else, those folks come together. And the third thing of a Code Adam is to see the child restored to its rightful place. Well, they are just lecturing her, and I mean they are hot. You can imagine. When she looked him in the eye, she said, okay, those three things. One, to alert the public to a missing child. Two, to get all of the forces necessary to make sure that the child is found. And three, to return the child to its rightful place. And yes, ma'am, she said, that's exactly what I'm talking about. You see, she began to share with them that there used to be a time in the mall and in other public places where you had a nativity. Where you could go and you could look and you could observe a nativity like we have on this table. And now that was no longer there, and so she, in her heart as a believer, wanted to report there was a child missing. Well, this morning I need to ask you to help me. I need you to ask you to help me that we might, in the few days we have left before the actual celebration, but in the days ahead, that we might send out into our world a spiritual code Adam. Well, there is a baby missing, ladies and gentlemen. When you look at all of the celebrations and all of the parties and all of the presents and all of the Santa visits and this and that, there seems to be something missing. And that is the baby. He is the reason for the season. In 2 days we'll celebrate Christmas and people go, yes, we will, but do you realize the impact of what that baby had? Do you know that your calendar is set to the birth of that baby? He's not an afterthought. Do you realize that when we say B.C., we mean before Christ? And when we say A.D., in the year of our Lord, Anno Domini, we're speaking of Christ. And yet our world has somehow forgotten. I know people think I'm crazy. I want to encourage you to do something. Those of you that love the internet, I was hoping to be able to show it today, and I wasn't. There's a video. I want you to go to a website. It's on YouTube and on some are on GodTube, and it's called Where's the Line for Jesus? Write that, really, if you have something, write that down, and I want you to get on your computer and I want you to go and look up Where's the Line for Jesus, because here's the story, and maybe next year I'll be able to show it to you. It was a little boy who's in the mall. The little boy is with his grandmother and his grandfather and his aunt, Becky. And he's looking at all the wonderful things going on in the mall, and he sees the children lined up for Santa Claus, and he knows that that's perfectly okay. That's a good thing. And he reaches up and he tugs the sweater of his aunt, and he asks the question, "Where's the line for Jesus?" And she looks at him and goes, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Well, it's his birthday. Why don't we sing him more?" I encourage you to go to that video and look at it, because if you can watch it without tearing up when it's over, it's a true story. It's a true story called Where's the Line for Jesus? And that's really what I wanted to remind us about today. Because you see, we need the world to hear a worldwide code Adam. And we need to once again to think, where is the line for Jesus? Where am I in my preparations? Am I going, yeah, I know Christ is the, I know that he's the Son of God, he's the babe, but no, he's really the focus of it all. Let me read to you. Have your Bible, Isaiah 7, beginning at verse 14. So the Bible speaks of this baby as no ordinary baby. And that's the reason we need to send this code Adam to say, look, in this time of Christmas 2012, when there seems to be so much sadness and so much darkness in light of Newtown and other events, that there is still hope. In Isaiah, the 7th chapter, the 14th verse, Isaiah, some 3,000 years before the Lord even came, says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. In chapter 9, if you'll look there, Isaiah writes again under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in verses 1 and 2, and then in verses 6 and 7, it says, nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon you who is distressed, as when first he lightly is seen. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the name, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. What Isaiah is doing is saying, look, times are dark right now. They're experiencing the throes of Babylonian bondage. They're a nation that is in sadness. They have watched their world be torn apart. They've watched their children be slaughtered. And yet God says there's hope. Verse 2, he says, the people who walk in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, a light has shined upon them. Verses 6 and 7 speak of this baby. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And let me give you some hope this morning. It says the government, all government will rest upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, the last week, the last few weeks, we built up for how joyous Christmas was. It seems like that the world just kind of went dark. And it did. But just for a moment. Because you see, in the midst of their dark world, they were in bondage. Their children had been slain. Families had been torn apart. God broke through and he said, I'm still here. In fact, he was telling them that he was going to send a baby. And in the right time, the scripture tells us that in the fullness of time, in Matthew and Luke, it says that the baby was born. The baby Jesus. And so, I ask the question, where's the line for Jesus? As we send out a code, Adam, why do we need to do that? What is the purpose of you and I sending out into the world a code, Adam, a spiritual code, Adam, that says that in the midst of our Christmas is a baby missing? I will tell you this, there's nothing more wonderful than what you're doing right now, Ken. You hold on to it. One of my favorite pictures is of my son, Adam, and I'm laid back in my recliner, and I'm training him, folks. I'm asleep and he's asleep right here. Training him to be a man. Amen? Well, why should we send a spiritual code at him? First of all, to alert our world that the only real hope is Jesus. People in Newtown are hurting. People all over the world and in Colorado and in Oregon and other places. Maybe you are hurting, and I want to tell you that in the midst of your darkness, there is hope. And it is found in that little child, Jesus. So as we send out a spiritual code, Adam, we tell the world, don't look to the Republicans or the Democrats. The fiscal cliff will come or go. That's not the worry. What's more important is that we look to Christ. For you see, folks, he is the hope of peace. That's the first thing. In the alert, it says that you're to let them know there's a child missing. We need to let our world know a child's missing. That in Santa Claus, and I still believe in him, and he's coming to my house, I promise you. It's not the answer. In the government, and in the church, and in anything, that's not the answer. But in Jesus, we have the answer. The second part of the spiritual code, Adam, means that we need to marshal the forces necessary. That means you and I need to lose our sense of spiritual lockjaw, and we don't need to be afraid. I've had more fun. You know, I do like irritating people at times. I do. I shouldn't, but it's just my mischievous nature, okay? But I wasn't trying to irritate them, but I said Merry Christmas to more people this year, probably than ever before. Some of them will Happy Holidays back to me, and I go, that's not what I said. They'll get that kind. And I'll do it. Merry Christmas anyway. Walk away with them just staring at you. Why, we need to tell the world. Yes, Christmas, is there anything more fun than Christmas? And I don't mean Christmas shopping. There's nothing more wonderful than Christmas to me. In fact, it's absolutely killing me. I got to tell y'all, some yahoo has put fudge or something on the front row right here, and it is calling me. Bless God, we were talking about temptation during a sermon. I started to have y'all praying. I was going to slide down. Well, yeah. How you doing? We've been here till 4 o'clock, okay? I'll be back on my point.
In the next few days, with your family, with your friends, with complete strangers, we need to remind them that Christmas is about hope and peace that comes through Christ and Christ alone.
So we need to marshal the forces to stand up, to speak out, and to battle. People have asked me about Newtown. I'll tell you all about Adam Lanza, you need to know. Adam Lanza wasn't crazy. Oh, there might have been some mental problems. Adam Lanza was demon-possessed. Only Satan himself got any pleasure out of the slaughter of those children. And if you go back in Scripture and you look in the Gospel and you look at Christmas time, another demon-possessed man by the name of King Herod ordered the slaughter of children. Many more of them were killed at Newtown. Why? Because he wanted to stop Christmas from coming. We need to marshal the forces. And finally, we need to remind people that there's a line. Folks, in the future, for each one of us, there is a line where we'll meet Jesus. The Apostle Paul wrote about it in the book of Philippians, and John wrote about it in Revelation. I want you to understand then when it says, where is the line to see Jesus in that beautiful song, if you'll take the time to listen to it, if you'll turn to the book of Philippians for me. Philippians 2, 8 through 11. I want you to know that there's coming a day when you're going to stand in a line and you're going to meet Jesus. Now you may say, well, I'm not ready. Well, that's the reason for this message, is to help us get ready. Because I want to tell you that I'm ready to meet Him. In Philippians 2, beginning at verse 8, Paul, writing about this child that has grown up, says, in being found as an appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name. Now, this is where the line starts for you and I. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And it says of those in heaven, those on the earth, and those under the earth. Basically what Paul says is that one day, you and I are going to meet not the child, but the full-grown resurrected Savior. It is a meeting you can't get out of. I don't want to get out of it. I am willingly going to fall before my Lord. And if I can speak, I heard Dr. Mac Brunson recently at the North Carolina Baptist State Convention, and he was talking about the time when he's going to be before the throne of Christ. And he says, you know, I'm so tired of hearing all these people going, well, when I get before Jesus, I'm going to ask him a few questions. He said, I want to tell you something, and it gives me goosebumps to say it. He said, when you are in line, in that line that we're going to read about in Revelation 20 in just a minute, and it comes your turn and you are there before the risen Lord and you fall on your face before absolute glory and majesty, he said, you'll be lucky if you can get up out. You ain't going to ask him anything. There's a line. We need to tell the world. We need to marshal the forces. We need to let people know that there's a line. Revelation 20, and I'm going to close and I want you to see this. Because I want to offer you an opportunity to receive a Christmas present this morning that you may have never received. Revelation 20, beginning at verse 11. Where's the line that we'll all stand in to see Jesus one day? John writing says, then I saw a great white throne, and this is the great white throne of judgment, ladies and gentlemen. And him who sat upon it, from whose face earth and heaven fled away. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. It says, the sea gave up its dead, and death gave up its dead, and Hades, and they were all delivered. and they were all judged according to their works. Then death and Hades, it says, were thrown into the lake of fire. This is speaking of the fact that there's coming a time when the Lord Jesus Christ, when God Himself is going to say, there's not going to be any more death. There'll be no more dying. There'll be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more heartbreak at Christmas. I want you to know I look forward to that time. I know in my own way, as many of you know, what heartbreak at Christmas is all about. It was December 24th, 1976, at 12:50 in the afternoon, that my blessed mother, at age 50 years old, went home for Christmas. And I thought Christmas would never be good again. But Jesus reminded me that I'll meet her again. It says that death and Hades went away. But I want you to look at verse 15. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, they were cast into the lake of fire. What does that mean? That means that if your name is not written in the book of life, that you're going to go to hell. Well, I don't believe in hell. I don't believe in air, but I breathe it. I don't believe in gravity, but I'm not floating. I don't believe the world is round, but the pictures I've seen say it is. I want to offer you a Christmas gift this morning. For those of you that are part of the church and you've already received it, we need to be calling out a spiritual code Adam. There's a baby missing from so many lives. For you see, you must accept Him as a baby before you can understand Him as a man, and you can see Him as the sin bearer on the cross, and then as your resurrected Savior. And that is, I want to offer you the opportunity to meet the baby. How do you do that? How do you get Jesus, who most of us know about in our head, down into your heart? How do I make Jesus more than somebody I know, and more what I've experienced and many of you have experienced, is I make Him my Savior and my Lord by simply asking Him to forgive you of your sin and to come into your heart. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to be able to quote the Ten Commandments in Hebrew or Greek. You just need to very simply say, I want to get that baby out of my head and I want to get Him in my heart, because one day when I stand in that line for Jesus, I want to be able to fall down and bow before Him willingly. And if I can get the words out of my mouth to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There's a baby missing. I pray He's not missing from your heart. I pray He's not missing from your family celebration. If He is, let me talk to you dads and granddads a minute. You want to be a better dad, a better grandfather than you've ever been? Well, if you've never accepted Christ into your heart, I want to tell you He'll make you a better father and a better grandfather than you will ever be. Grandmoms and moms, let me tell you the same thing. You want to offer your children and your husband and your relatives the greatest Christmas gift you can. You give your life to Christ today and you will be a better mother and a better grandmother. We got grandmothers and mothers in here that have done it recently. We know. And they'll tell you that this Christmas is better than any other. We got a young lady right down here, second row. Only thing wrong with her, she's a Duke fan. I had to add a little levity to it. Okay? She's going to be a mother in about a month, and we're going to baptize her next Sunday. Oh, she made a decision for Christ some time ago, but she's going to go through with all of it. And I want you to know that I guarantee that this Christmas, Brittany is different than the ones in the past. What about you? Maybe you're a child. You want to give your parents a wonderful gift. Give your heart to that baby this morning. Again, how do you do that? You just simply bow your head and you say, Lord Jesus, I want you to forgive me of my sin and come into my heart. For those of us that have already done that, let me tell you, losing your mother on Christmas Eve is not fun.
Losing a mother to cancer is not fun, or to anything like that is not fun. Or losing a father is not fun. But I want to tell you that as I celebrate tomorrow at about 12:50, and I pause for a moment, I go, thank you, Lord. Thank you that my mama is home for Christmas. And I look forward to being there too. In fact, I believe my mama was probably standing at the gate when some of those children from Newtown came through. And she said, I'll look after them. I'll look after them till their mama and their daddy get here too. And I don't know about you. I'm willing to be a part of that spiritual co-dad. And I'm looking forward to the line. But you want to know what I'm looking forward to more than anything else? I'm looking forward to being home for Christmas one day soon. Let's pray together. Father, if there's anybody here that in the quietness of these moments wants to pray that prayer, that they just want to say, Lord Jesus, I don't really know you like I want to, but I know that you came as a baby and you lived as a man and you died on the cross to save me from my sin. And Lord Jesus, I want you to take away my sin and come in my heart. And Father, I know that that is the Christmas gift that you have today for anybody that will take it. And I pray many will. We pray that today in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to come very quickly in our time of invitation. Maybe you've made that decision before. And you want to make it public. That's one of the things Jesus said. Jesus said, if you will confess me before men, what does that mean? It means I'm not afraid to tell the world that I'm a Christian. They look at me queer and weird at times, but I'm not afraid to tell them. And that's what means doing it publicly means. And maybe you want to come today and you just want to share that you've made that decision public so we can have everybody celebrate the wonderful Christmas gift you have. Maybe you're looking for a church home. And you've made a decision for Christ before, and you've been a part of another church, or maybe you've been out of church a while, and you want to be a part of this one. Well, I think this one's pretty good. The only place I know where they leave chocolate for the pastor on the front row. Amen? If you're looking for a church home, and you'd like to come this morning and join Holloway, we'll let you. Maybe you just need, in your own little altar, in your own little place, as we sing our hymn of invitation, to say thank you, Jesus. You may say, Jesus, I miss my mama, I miss my daddy, I miss so-and-so, I miss this, I miss that. But I sure look forward one day to being home for Christmas. Whatever decision you need to make, I'll be down here to share it if you want to share it with me. If you need to come and just pray at this altar, we'll let you do that.